The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The bodybuilding world will never be the same.
Get ready for MD Radio with your host, Sean Ray. We'll take you inside the world of health and fitness with a focus on bodybuilding. Now, here's your host, Sean Ray.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of MD Radio. I am spent. If you were listening to last week's episode, I was headed to South Africa, where I am still in the process of just settling in. I got back here to California at about 10 a.m., and I left South Africa yesterday at 8:30 at night. Now, mind you, South Africa is 9 hours ahead of us, so leaving South Africa at 8:30 at night would have been around 11:30 yesterday afternoon. I've been traveling since 11:30 yesterday afternoon, and I'm finally home. I'm actually happy to be here and open up my mailbox and grab the brand new November issue of Muscular Development Magazine with not one, but two Mr. Olympia champions on there. You got the phenomenal Phil Heath and, of course, the four-time Mr. Olympia Jay Cutler with an exclusive interview in there where not only does he mention that he signs with BPI Sports, but he makes the proclamation that at 40 years young, next year on August the 3rd, he has his sights set to go after number five. And in the meantime, Phil Heath is going after number two this Friday and Saturday at the Orleans Arena. Action gets started Friday night with the men's prejudging at the 48th annual Joe Weider Mr. Olympia weekend. And of course, Jay will be comfortably in the house representing Muscular Development and probably working with BPI, but he'll get an up close and personal view of what it looks like from the stands for the first time in many years. I believe Jay sat out the 2002 Mr. Olympia and possibly the 2003, maybe not. But I know for sure he was not in the 2002 Olympia. He went for the Arnold Classic where he just reeled off three victories in a row, 2002, 3, and 4, walked off with the Arnold Classic titles. But this will be the first time he's watching in a long time, and he'll get to see what he's going to be up against at the ripe old age of 40 years old next year. He's gone on record and told his listening audience on page 150, what's next in the new Muscular Development. And, of course, we also have The Gift, How the Gift Arrived. We have an exclusive interview with some background about where Phil Heath came from. And we all know Phil actually arrived in 2006 when he won the Sean Ray Classic in Colorado, launched his career, and people took notice, and he went on to not only win the New York and Ironman championships, but also an Olympia title to boot, which he's going to defend this weekend. Speaking of South Africa, they're begging to get some action down that way from some IFBB pros. So I'm here to tell you, Tony Freeman was recently there, and of course Troy Isles was there. I did a muscle camp, took Melvin Anthony and Adela Garcia and Tamia Mayorva down there, and we all had a great time, phenomenal time. It was a very short trip for me. Wish I could have stayed longer, but we got business this weekend to take care of in Las Vegas. We're just now on Muscular Development Online launching some previews about what's going to be taking place this weekend from various perspectives, including Kevin Lavroni, who I'm waiting for his call-in. I don't know what the heck Kevin is doing. He may be flaunting around with the weights, attempting a comeback at the Masters. Now, mind you, the Masters Olympia is coming back for the first time in many years. I believe it stopped back in 2005 with Claude Gruhl as the champion back then, or 2006, one of those years. And Jarkko Lauri put on the World Masters championships last year, which we saw Dexter Jackson win in December out in Miami. Well, this year she's got an IFBB sanction, which means she can use the Olympia title. The question is, does that Olympia, Masters Olympia title come with a Sandow trophy? We know in years past, Vince Taylor's gotten a few. Robbie Robinson got the first one ever back in 1994. The late deceased Sonny Schmidt also grabbed one of those Masters championships. and Don Youngblood, the late Don Youngblood. So several of those guys got Masters, Olympia, Sandow trophies for their efforts. We need to find out if the winner of this year's Masters Olympia is going to get a Sandow. Now, I make that point for this reason. We know Dexter Jackson won last year's World Masters Championships, and he's the odds-on favorite to win the Masters Olympia at the tender age of 42, maybe 43. Should he do so, he'll be the first and the only man to win not only the Mr. Olympia, but the Masters Olympia, which would secure his place in the Bodybuilding Hall of Fame, not only, but it would set him aside from all the other Olympia winners because he's done it in two different levels. Does it make him any better than he actually is? No, but he would be the only one to have a Masters Olympia title along with a Mr. Olympia title. So this begs the question, if this Masters Olympia gets wings and flies and is around in 2013, and Jay Cutler makes his comeback in 2013 at the Olympia, win, lose, or draw, does Jay stay the course and go to the Masters Olympia where the playing field is level? He probably won't have to run into the likes of Phil Heath, but he may have to go through a Tony Freeman or a Dexter Jackson, you know, Bill Wilmore, Johnny Jackson, those types of guys, to grab himself a Masters Olympia. That's also, you know, if Jay's an athlete, that you need to put that down on the calendar, that if the Masters Olympia is available in 2013, will Jay Cutler be there? I mean, heck, it's part of the business of bodybuilding. He's going to get in shape to compete in the Open, and then I'm sure he's going to stay in shape to compete or to do guest posing appearances. So I'm throwing that out there, Jay. If you're listening, think beyond just the comeback and winning number five, but maybe go after that Masters Olympia title, too, just for dexterity and put it on your resume. We already know you're highly decorated and all that good stuff, but right now Dexter's trying to one-up everybody to go after all the hardware. But that would represent a second Sandow trophy for Dexter Jackson should he beat off the competition. Now, in doing so, he's going to have to beat back Bill Wilmore, who last year was the most improved bodybuilder at the World Championships. Of course, we know Tony Freeman's getting better with age at the tender age of 45, but it should be interesting come December because there's a lot that's going to happen between now and then. First up is the 48th Annual Joe Weider Mr. Olympia Weekend, which I covered last week. We're heading into it this weekend. We're going to have an exclusive preview, Sports Center style, with the host of Pro Bodybuilding Worldwide Radio, Dan Solomon, who'll be coming on a little bit later on today. He's going to come on to talk about what we've got in store for the MDTV guys watching at home and on the World Wide Web. We've got a very exclusive interview along with bodybuilding historian Peter McGough. Now, Peter McGough was the former Flex editor-in-chief, also the creator and CEO of Pumping Press magazine from the UK, one of the guys that helped, I don't want to say discover Dorian, but he certainly brought Dorian to the forefront out here in the States for us to know about who the Shadow was. Peter, a highly decorated guy for not only his memory, but also living through all of this bodybuilding stuff and having a very accurate account of how it all went down. You might have seen Peter in the evolution of bodybuilding. He was the narrator, and rightfully so. The guy's a walking encyclopedia when it comes down to the world of bodybuilding. So he's going to be there highlighting and previewing the upcoming Olympia Championships this Wednesday. I think it's going to go down Wednesday night. Should be up online by Thursday, if not on Wednesday night. So stay tuned to MuscularDevelopment.com for that exclusive preview where few guys should be stopping by. I think I'll leave it up to Dan to get all the particulars out about what we're going to be discussing, but it's going to be pretty in-depth. That said, we can't leave the ladies out because there's a big contingency of women headed also to Las Vegas, not only for the Flex Bikini Championships, but also we have figure, fitness, and bodybuilding going down. So it should be interesting for the ladies as well. There's a lot of prize money at stake. And, again, we've got Iris Kyle going for record number eight, record tying. Linda Murray has eight Olympia titles. If Iris Kyle can win, she would be tied with the greatest female bodybuilder of all time, Miss Linda Murray. So that's one to watch because certainly we do know that the girls that she's up against are no slouch. I know that watching several of the girls over the years, they've kind of closed the gap, so to speak. And I know Yoxani Orokin, who's probably competed more than anyone else out there, will have something to say about Iris going on for a record tying number 8. There's a few other girls that are going to be throwing their hat into the arena. Alina Popa is definitely one to watch out for. And a happy birthday goes out to Brigitta Brzezinova. I know I butchered her last name, but Brigitta, she won the pro bodybuilding championships out in Tampa Bay, and she's a European world champion. She's having a birthday today. I want to say happy birthday to her. And it's going to be a very busy weekend in Las Vegas. I do know that Lee Labrada is going to be there in the house, and Lee Haney's coming to town. It's pretty much a reunion of sorts, and things get kicked off on, I believe, Thursday. We're going to have the Meet the Olympians and the press conference, and then we're going to head over to the convention center where the expo is going to open up on Friday morning, and it's going to head until about 5 o'clock at night. And, of course, you have the men's prejudging taking place Friday night. So it's a busy, busy Friday night, with the finals concluding after Saturday's expo. We have the Flex Bikini competition going on at the expo and the 212 championships. So it's going to be a pretty wild weekend out there in Las Vegas. But I just picked up the magazine, and I noticed on the inside there's some pretty good copy here. We got in print How I See It, and you've got three Hall of Famers with Flex, Wheeler, Kevin Livroni, and myself breaking down what our opinion is as to going heads up with Phil Heath if he was there competing against us. And you're going to find three very different views from three guys that arguably came up in the toughest years and most competitive in the 90s as far as the depth level of competitors is concerned. Talking about the gift, Phil Heath, what we thought he might have done on the stage next to us. And arguably, we traded places, and people from our era, think Kevin Livroni was one of the ones that should have been Mr. Olympia, and some people think Flex, and some people think it's myself. So it's a very interesting take on that. And Dan Solomon, in his column, The Voice, he's talking about, is Ronnie Coleman really the greatest of all time? Now, mind you, Ronnie's got 8 Sandow trophies, but so does Lee Haney. Ronnie competed for a long time and started at the very back of the pack. Lee Haney started off as a teenage national champion, and he just went on to win everything that he touched. He did not win every show. Mind you, his first Olympia, he was 3rd. He got beat by Muhammad McAway, and he also lost out to Samir Banu in 1983. Then he went on to win everything. So that was just 1 year that he had to get his feet wet. Ronnie Coleman started out at the back of the pack. As a matter of fact, his first Olympia in 92, he was dead last. And it wasn't going to be for quite some time. It took him almost 4 years to win a pro competition. And then ultimately he won the Olympia, and then he won, reeled off 8 victories. And his last Olympia, he lost, and he was over 40. Lee Haney won 8 in a row and retired at 31 years old. He lost to only 2 men on the pro circuit, and one of them was Mr. Olympia Samir Banu. While Ronnie Coleman ultimately reeled off 8 Olympia titles towards the end of the 90s, early 21st century, a lot of people lay claim to beating Ronnie Coleman, myself included, for a number of years, beat down Ronnie Coleman. But, of course, when he left defeated. Jay Cutler took him out. So Dan made some very good points. Read that column and let me know what you think. Go on the boards and let's talk about it. Is Ronnie Coleman really the greatest? We'll find out. But we're going to come back after our first commercial break, and maybe we'll have Dan Solomon on here to talk about that just a little bit, and we'll see if Kevin Livroni chimes in. So stay with us here at MD Radio. I'll be back right after this commercial break.
This is Lonnie Tieper from Iron Man Magazine, the greatest of all time. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Focus, strength, recovery, results. Introducing Maximize, brought to you by iForce Nutrition. Tired of the same old caffeine buzz? Are you ready to step into a new world of power, energy, and intensity? Maximize has set a new standard in the supplement world, delivering tunnel vision focus, cell swelling volumization, and unstoppable endurance. Don't settle for the current crop of underclothes products. It's time to join the next generation with Maximize, the only pre-workout supplement you need for extreme gains in strength and performance. Don't just train. Maximize your workouts. Visit www.iforcenutrition.com for details.
Over the years, iForce Nutrition has brought you some of the most powerful muscle-building products ever seen in the bodybuilding world. Now, after years of research and development, we are proud to introduce our first launch into the world of thermogenic fat loss with Adipoxil. Adipoxil isn't your run-of-the-mill fat burner. Adipoxil is new and rewriting the definition of fat loss. Adipoxil's competition strength formula is so powerful, in one cycle, you can go from soft to shredded. When being lean isn't enough, get shredded with Adipoxil. For more information, visit iForceNutrition.com.
Leveroni Formula, giving fitness products a good name.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you've ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like some banned substances, but rest assured, there's nothing illegal in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB living legend Flex Wheeler. And now you too can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Run! Oh my eyes! Business as usual, man! Hey! I stole you! I stole you! Run!
For the best workout of your life, use Nox Pump, the strongest pre-workout powder in bodybuilding. Get Nox Pump at health food stores everywhere.
From the creators of Bullnox, the first testosterone-infused pre-workout nitric oxide, Betancourt Nutrition presents new PhosFlex Creatine, the only creatine, insulin, and complete joint support formula on the planet. Check out Betancourt Nutrition on Facebook, Twitter, and BetancourtNutrition.com.
Leveroni Formula, Extreme Nitric Pump Blend, the cleanest and most powerful pre-workout mix available today. Order it now at LeveroniFormula.com.
Hey, this is Seth Ferosi, IFBB Pro, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Yes, your protein sucks. Stop flushing your money down the toilet already. You're not building muscle using it. Whey is for animals, not humans. Now get the world's first human protein. 99% anabolic, and it packs muscle extremely fast. If you want to grow today, go to HumaPro.com.
Everyone knows that beef is king when it comes to building quality muscle mass. Now you can have all the anabolic power of beef with Carnivore. Beef protein isolate from muscle mass, packed with 20 times the creatine of steak and loaded with extra BCAAs. Carnivore is more concentrated than whey. Beef up with Carnivore, the most sought-after muscle-building protein ever created. For more information, visit MuscleMansRx.com.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray. You want to get in on the action? Call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
All right, for those of you that are just tuning in, like I said, I'm recovering from my trip to South Africa. And if you've never been there, picture yourself getting on an airplane from Los Angeles and flying roughly 11 hours over to Amsterdam, Holland, where you change planes on a two-hour layover, and then you get on another flight for 11 and a half hours all the way down to the furthest point there is on the continent of Africa, which is known as South Africa. I was in Johannesburg for Betancourt Nutrition, making some store appearances, and managed to make my way back, but this time I came back to Atlanta. So I flew out of Johannesburg on a 16-hour flight nonstop over water, and then had an hour and a half on the ground and another 4.5 hours from Atlanta to L.A., where I enjoyed another at least 1 hour drive home, and now I'm comfortably safe. And I want to make sure that you guys understand that we bleed for you fans, man. I came here and jumped on the telephone to share with you that the new Muscular Development magazine is on the newsstands, the November issue, and I'm thumbing through it, and I'm looking at How the Gift Arrived, a story, an account, as told by Peter McGough, about how Phil arrived with some very good black and white photos that Per Bernal took of this guy. And I'm talking 8 by 10, 7, 8 pages, where you can really analyze the physique of Phil Heath. And I'm telling you, looking at this thing, it's got to send some shockwaves to some of his competitors if they see this before they hit the stage. One of the guys who did a breakdown and analysis of this physique is one of my nemesis throughout the years, someone who elevated my game to its ninth degree, the Maryland Muscle Machine, somebody that's been there, four-time Olympia runner-up, two-time Arnold Classic champion, winner of everything that he ever entered into besides the Olympia championships. This guy knows a thing or two about bodybuilding, and he lets his opinion be known on the pages of Muscular Development magazine, how he sees it. Let's bring him on by way of Maryland, Mr. Kevin Livroni. Welcome back to MD Radio.
Hey, thank you very much, Sean. And,
well, Kevin, I mean...
Like always, welcome back, brother. You know, and we do sweat it out, blood, sweat, and tears for the fans, man. And you certainly putting it down, and you're doing a great job at that. So yeah,
I believe
at this year's Mr. Olympia, it's going to be. I'm thinking that Phil's going to have quite the presentation for us. So.
Well, the irony of you saying how we do it for the fans, I mean, everyone in South Africa, almost to a person, was like, get Kevin Livroni down here. Here you are like 10 years, 6, 8 years into retirement, and the fans of South Africa are like, get Kevin Livroni down here. I'm like, well, Kevin's a friend of mine. I can call him. Have you ever been to South Africa?
Yes, I have. Actually, yeah, I was in Johannesburg, same place where you were.
What year was that?
Of course, man. I'll tell you, it's a long flight. People don't realize how long that flight is, and I can certainly understand 17 hours over the ocean.
Do you remember what year you were there in South Africa? Was this when you were competing?
No, actually, I was there on business probably about 2 years ago. I was in and out of South Africa within about 24 hours, so I didn't have a chance to do anything or interact with any of the fans or anything.
Yeah, it is a brutal trip, to be sure, and the fans that didn't get a chance to catch up with you that time around, let it be known that if I get back there, I got to bring the Maryland Muscle Machine, and with good reason. They are obviously following you on the Muscular Development and on your daily blog that you have with your Livroni Report. But they also know, man, your physique was one of a kind. Very few people are going to see that type of body again. But one guy that kind of encompasses a little bit of you, myself, and Flex, we broke it down in the magazine, was Phil Heath. And, of course, by the time I read the conclusion of what you said, you basically have Phil as the winner. So this is a competition where Phil has to do something major to screw it all up. And we know that that's possible. We have yet to see a Mr. Olympia winner actually screw things up. But let's just say he wins. So the contest is for second and third. Where do you stand on that?
You know, first of all, Sean, you know, going back to his physique, let's start with Phil, because he does have a phenomenal physique, and people compare him to likeness of you, myself, and Flex Wheeler, and, you know, thank God that he did come along because, you know, the sport, you know, it was, you know, hey, it was my opinion, it was downhill spiraling, you know, so I believe that he did, you know, he pretty much saved it, he you know, with his lines, his classiness, and of course, you know, each year Phil can only get better because he's so young, you know. One of the interesting things about this, Mr. Olympia, and we were talking about this, just before you had left to go to Johannesburg, was Kai Green, you know, who had taken off a whole year just to prepare for this competition. It's going to be interesting to see what he does with his physique because, in my opinion, I don't know how much more Kai can improve, you know, with that frame that he has. So that's going to be an interesting toss-up to see, you know, what he looks like pound for pound standing next to Phil Heath.
I missed that last part, Kevin.
No, I'm saying what he's going to look like pound for pound standing next to Phil Heath.
You know,
that's going to be interesting to see what Kai Green brings to the table.
And there's a strong probability that Kai can take Phil. I mean, Kai's beaten Phil before. But again, it's not what you did, it's what you're doing now, and neither of us have seen these guys, so it's an interesting read that if we think that they're both at their best, it's a foregone conclusion that Phil can win the show. We know that there's room in everyone's armor to miss the peak. I mean, you know what it takes to peak at the Olympia. I know what it takes to peak at the Olympia, and yet we've somehow managed to blow that at some point, various points of our careers, and we were there. Phil blew his first opportunity when he got food poisoning and wound up third or fourth place, so he knows what it's like to blow it that last day or two, and if Kai doesn't blow it, he can be a guy that makes things very interesting, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly agreeing with you, Sean. I mean, you know, not to weed out anyone else or any of the other guys that are certainly in the run for the money, but, you know, we throw Phil out there because he is the reigning Mr. Olympia. Jay's not competing, so, you know, and who's the other guy that's been resting kind of like in the bushes just waiting? It's been Kai Greene.
Right.
And like you said, you know, between first and second, you know, with us, it was Flex, Sean, you, you know, we could toss it around any way. But one thing, a tad of water can certainly drop you down two or three places. You know, a tad of water, if Phil comes and he's not 100% on and Kai Greene comes and is 100% on, I could tell you with the judging and what the IFBB judges are doing now compared to when we were on that stage, these guys are giving the best physique on stage. They're rewarding him. You know, the overall victory. So it's going to be really interesting. If Phil is off, will they give him a nod? You know,
I don't know, man.
You know, so this is going to be a very interesting Mr. Olympia.
Well, I think we're both a little bit pessimistic when we come to the champion slightly being off. We've seen the champion walk off with the Sandow Trophy slightly being off. So the judges are going to have their work cut out. They're going to be challenged, and they're going to have to, you know, make it happen, because with the internet and with the fans paying as much money as they do for competitions, they got to get it right. The same way boxing. You saw the boxing took a big black eye when we watched Manny Pacquiao lose to Barkley or whoever that guy was that he just lost the title to after he won 11 out of 12 rounds, and he lost his title. That can't happen in bodybuilding. Bodybuilding fans will turn on the judges. So the judges, competent as they may be, are going to have a very tough call if this is one of those situations. In you know, in our bodybuilding careers, the 1980 and the 1981 Olympias are still being talked about for the controversial outcome. So it'll be interesting. I think if all things are equal, this is a contest that has Phil Heath's name written all over it. It's his to lose. That's my take on the whole thing. But with that being said, Kevin, in our summations of what we thought of the gift, if he was competing with you at his best now and your best, who wins that battle?
I mean, you know, it's such a hard thing, you know, to say. And I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and say that Phil Heath would take me out, of course, because I would do a lot of things to prepare myself mentally and physically to be at my best. I do edge him out on height, you know. I do edge him out on mass and size, so. You know, I'm going to have to nod myself, you know. I mean, Phil looks great. He looks great, you know, up there by himself. He looks great in the pictures. And you remember what Dorian Yates looked like in those photos. I mean, that you know, we had saw the black and white to him.
Yeah.
Steve run those of Dorian, you know, when he was over there in England. I mean, he looked like, oh, my God, we have to stand next to him on stage. But
yeah.
Can he bring that package to the stage? I stood next to Dorian Yates, you know, 7 years, man, you know, six years, 7 years, or whatever it was, battling against him ever since 1992.
I hear you, Kevin.
It was a nightmare.
I got to take a break, man. You're going to have a chance to stand next to Dorian Yates this weekend. He'll be there for Team MD, and his wife, Gal, is competing in the Pro Figure Division. I want to thank you for calling in. Safe travels to Las Vegas, and we'll catch up at the 48th Annual Joe Weider Mr. Olympia reunion for me, you, and Dorian, and Flex. I'll catch you there, all right? Thanks for calling in.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate that. We got the voice of pro bodybuilding on the other side of the commercial break. Big Dan Solomon calling in from Florida right after this.
This is Marcus Haley of The Common, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sugar Sean Ray.
Arginine and AAKG are dead.
over. MHP introduces InnoBomb, the world's first clinically tested nitric oxide maximizing formula. Did you experience real workouts and pumps with InnoBomb?
Leveroni Formula, giving fitness products a good name.
Did you know your protein has an anabolic to catabolic ratio? Until now, all the proteins on the shelf were way more catabolic than anabolic. So guess what? You're not growing.
Aww.
Nice to know all that money you're spending is going to the toilet rather than muscle, huh? Marketing doesn't build muscle, but a protein built for humans does. 99% anabolic, so you grow and grow and grow. See why at humapro.com and give the bathroom a break.
Anyone who understands the supplement market knows that fat burners as a class of products are virtually dead. Why? Because none of these products have delivered the kind of real results people have been looking for. I'm not kidding when I tell you, that's all over now. Because Mitotropin is so powerful and so profoundly different than anything else on the market, we couldn't even call it a fat burner for fear it would be associated with this useless category. That's how good it is. Welcome to the world of Mitotropin.
Leveroni Formula, Extreme Nitric Pump Blend. The cleanest and most powerful pre-workout mix available today. Order it now at leveroniformula.com.
This is IFBB Pro Mike Valentino. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
There are three aspects to athletic performance: energy, endurance, and recovery. And there is one nutrient that enhances all three: oxygen. Maximize explosiveness and power. Increase reps. Improve muscular endurance. Dramatically reduce recovery times and enhance mental focus. No matter what your sport, no matter what your level, it's all about oxygen. Check out oxygenforenergy.com. 95% pure oxygen for serious athletes. That's oxygen, the number four, energy.
Son! Oh my God! Business as usual, man! I stole you! I stole you! Right? Yeah!
For the best workout of your life, use Nox Pump, the strongest pre-workout powder in bodybuilding. Get Nox Pump at health food stores everywhere.
Shop the new MD Supplement Superstore, where you can find more of your favorite brands and products, upgraded customer service, and engaging cutting-edge research, along with the industry's most competitive prices.
Yes, your protein sucks. Stop flushing your money down the toilet already. You're not building muscle using it. Whey is for animals, not humans. Now get the world's first human protein. 99% anabolic, and it packs muscle extremely fast. If you want to grow today, go to humapro.com.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in your brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
All right, we just got done talking with the Maryland Muscle Machine, and he flat out said it. No, he doesn't think Phil Heath can beat him in head-to-head competition, mainly because he had the opportunity to go up with one of the baddest bodybuilders of our time, six-time Mr. Olympia, Dorian Yates. I gave my assessment. I pretty much said it's, when you start comparing eras, it's a very slippery slope. Coming up in the Olympia, when I was coming up in the 90s, there's a many guys in the Hall of Fame, from Lee Labrada to Gaspari and Flex Wheeler and Kevin Lavrone and Dorian Yates, Vince Taylor, Ronnie Coleman, and eventually Jay Cutler and Dexter Jackson. That said, is Phil Heath competing against a lineup of Hall of Fame bodybuilders? I believe once you get past Dexter Jackson, we're going to be hard-pressed to cast a ballot vote for the guys he's up against. It's a young crew, Evan Sinopani, Dennis Wolf, even Kai Greene. I'm not sure they've got the pedigree worthy of being in the Hall of Fame of bodybuilding just yet. You're only as good as the competition you stand next to. That's not a knock on Phil Heath. It's kind of like Larry Holmes following Muhammad Ali. I mean, Larry Holmes was heavyweight champion for 7 or 11 years, and yet no one speaks of him when they talk about the greatest heavyweights of all time. Will Phil Heath be one of those guys if he's not able to continually repeat? I'm not so sure. I think Phil has some longevity. He's young, but mind you, at 32 years young, and one standout to his credit, Lee Haney had 8 and was retiring. Let's bring on a guy who knows a thing or two about the observation of the evolution of bodybuilders, not to mention the voice of pro bodybuilding worldwide. By way of Florida, let's bring on Dan Solomon. Dan, welcome to MD Radio.
Tell us that Branch Warren and his 2 Arnold Classics, Kai Greene and his 2 Arnold Classic titles, Tony Freeman and his, 7 or 8 pro wins, those guys are not getting into the Bodybuilding Hall of Fame?
I don't think just yet, because you got to remember, the Arnold Classic is an invitation. It's not the Mr. Olympia. So when you're invited to the Arnold Classic, you're not necessarily competing against the best in the world who have to go through a process of qualification, which is what warrants the Mr. Olympia lineup. There is no easy way in the Olympia. You have to qualify. The Arnold, you don't always have to go up against Mr. Olympia in the Arnold Classic lineup. Mr. Olympia is not always there. I think the depth of field is what separates, I think, people like Kevin Livroni, Librata, myself, in terms of them being in the Hall of Fame, because most of their accolades came by way of the Olympia stage year after year after year. Whereas the Arnold Classic, when Branch won it 2 consecutive years, when Kai won it those couple of years, the depth wasn't as deep as the Olympia lineup. That's the distinction that I'm making.
I think I agree with you from one standpoint, and that is the criteria to make the Olympia should be much higher. Sean Rays, the Kevin Livronis, the Dorian, those are the guys who should be in the Hall of Fame. Unfortunately, when you look at the list of Hall of Famers, over the course of time, some guys have gotten in that have, to some degree, lowered, I guess you could say, the bar. And I'm not going to start rattling off names because I'm not going to open up that can of worms. But there are people in the Hall of Fame that when you look at them, you say, well, if that guy's in, then you can bet Branch Warren's getting in. But that's a whole other show. We got to talk Olympia.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that observation. But I mean, you have to judge a guy based on who's there. I mean, it's the only way you can do it. I mean, for example, a guy like Steve Reeves wasn't competing against really stiff competition, but he was there doing it at the time in the 50s, 60s or whatever. So that being said, Phil Heath obviously is at the top of the peak, and everyone's gunning for him the way they were Dorian Yates and Ronnie Coleman. But is he being chased the way that Dorian was by 4 or 5 guys that could have potentially beat him on any given day? Are there 4 or 5 guys that can beat a Phil Heath?
Well, it's funny you say that, because the story that we've been tracking all year on TBW is the fact that for the first time in a very, very long time, now that Jay Cutler is obviously out of the lineup, we don't have a definitive idea as to who the number 2 bodybuilder in the world, who's the guy who's chasing Phil. It's very ambiguous. You can ask 10 bodybuilding fans, you'll get 5 different answers. And just to sort of illustrate that point, we just got finished taping our 3rd and final edition of PBW for our Olympia preview series, and Bob Ciccarello was on the panel, as was Chad and myself, and we discussed our predictions and so forth. And just to illustrate just how all over the board everybody is in terms of establishing who the number 2 guy is, Bob Ciccarello said Branch Warren's going to finish 2nd in this contest. Chad Nichols said Dennis Wolfe's going to finish 2nd, and I've got Kai Greene finishing 2nd. And I can't remember the last time we had a situation where you could have 3 so-called experts, or whatever you want to call it, on a panel giving a prediction for 2nd place at the Olympia, and all 3 of us coming up with different names.
Well, I'm going to agree with you. I've got Kai Greene in a lock for 2nd place. Kai's going to have to do a lot to screw that up. I think he's going to be battling for the title. That's what and Kevin Livroni seemed to be agreeing with that as well. I think the X factor for me really is Sean Roden. I think I was so overly impressed with him at the last 2 shows he did that Sean Roden could be the reason that somebody like Dexter Jackson doesn't make the top 6 in the Olympia, or even Evan Sinopani, for example.
It's funny because I'm equally as impressed with Sean Roden. I can tell you that most everyone we speak to share that sentiment. The thing that I'm just not ready to go all in on Sean just yet for the top 6 is, as great as he looked earlier this year, And he was in a battle with Tony Freeman at a couple of those contests, and he won those contests, deservedly so. Sean was a tremendous bodybuilder this year, probably one of the biggest stories of the year when you really think about it. But we haven't seen him. You talk about Kevin talking about standing next to certain guys, and how do you put Phil in the conversation with Kevin if Phil hasn't competed against that class of guy? Well, I'm going to put, at least for now, I'm going to put Sean Roden in that conversation and say Sean Roden hasn't yet stood on stage next to the likes of the Branches and the Dexters and the Wolves and those guys. And I just have a hard time thinking that Sean Roden is there just yet. I think next year we're going to be talking about Sean Roden as a legitimate top six guy, but let's not lose sight of what it means to be top six at the Olympia. That is hallowed ground. That is extraordinary territory. That is an elite club. And I just don't know if Sean Roden is there yet. He's close and he's going to get there soon. Just not sure if it's going to be this weekend.
Yeah, I agree. We don't know what his staying power is. And this would be his third contest of the year. It's uncharted territory for him. He could be potentially better or progressively worse because he has never had to peak this many times and this far away. But he could rise to the occasion. I've seen stranger things happen, and Dexter Jackson's the epitome of peaking more than once in 1 year. With that being said, where does that leave someone like Evan Sinopani, who's doing his first Olympia, who's got a couple of pro wins under his belt, and it's his first time at the big show with a kid, a husband, a father? He's been very quiet.
Evan's in a really good spot coming into this thing. He sort of took a page out of the Phil Heath handbook in terms of he qualified for the Olympia a couple times out of the gate, opted not to do the show, took a very patient approach, waited for the right time to walk on that stage when he knew that he could make an impact. Now, when you look at last year's top six, obviously two of those guys aren't in the contest, Victor and Jay, so that leaves two spots. Now, let's also remember, Branch Warren did not compete in last year's Olympia. A lot of people forget that. So you got to kind of put Branch in that group. So at the end of the day, it nets out where you have one available spot if you want to look at it from the standpoint of removing Victor and Jay, adding Branch. It opens up one spot. And I'm going to argue that that spot's going to go to Evan. I think he's ready for this. All the information we're getting from his camp and information out of Powerhouse and also out of New Haven, it all looks really good for Evan. And I just have a really good feeling that when you look at the thickness and the graininess, he represents the type of physique that not a lot of guys up there, with the exception of perhaps Branch, can bring to a stage at this point. And it's going to be really interesting to see where he fits in. But I think at the end of the day, he's going to fit in somewhere in that top six.
Well, that leaves us with the big, bad Wolf. And I saw him in July, and it was probably the biggest I'd seen him off season going into this competition. What does he need to do to either make up some ground or maintain where he's at?
Well, for Dennis, it's an interesting scenario because the momentum has really, there's been a groundswell of support for Dennis Wolf. We had Jay Cutler on our program last week, and we asked him how he thought the Olympia would play out, and he's incredibly supportive of Dennis Wolf. He really feels that when you put it all together, Dennis Wolf represents the best of all things. And let's remember, with Jay Cutler not in this lineup, it really creates a real wide space on that stage. And I'm not talking about just physical space. I'm talking about response from the fans. Let's remember now, Jay Cutler not doing the Olympia, that's not just a case of the number two guy not doing the Olympia. That's a case of the hometown guy not doing the Olympia. Jay Cutler lives in Vegas, so when he opts not to do the contest, it's more than just the fact that one of the top guys isn't there. It's one of the hometowns. It's like Phil Heath competing in Denver or Evan competing in the New York Pro. I mean, it has that hometown vibe. And if Jay's not there, who's going to capture that? And I really think Dennis Wolf obviously spends a lot of time in Vegas these days, and there's a lot of good buzz coming out of his camp and people that have seen him train. The photos look good. I think Dennis Wolf is probably in a really good position, and I wouldn't be shocked. I've got Kai in the number two spot, but I don't think any of us would be surprised if it comes down to Dennis Wolf against Phil Heath. But I really think Wolf is in a tremendous spot. He's put himself in a good situation, and there's also some sentiment in his favor. Let's remember, Branch beat him at the Arnold Classic, and there are some people that didn't agree with that outcome, so it's going to be interesting to see how Wolf is given maybe an extra fair shot at battling because of the way things went down in Columbus. Some fans feel that Dennis Wolf got a raw deal.
Yeah, and I was one of them. I had Dennis Wolf, the winner of that championship. Dan, I want to hold you through the commercial break, but make sure you pick up the November issue of MD Magazine where you'll get to see the Total Recall. That's the exclusive worldwide interview conducted by Peter McGough about Arnold's new book, Total Recall, I'll Look Back. So check that out. There's a nice exclusive part two special in the Muscular Development magazine, and that's the new book by the governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Saw him in the latest part two of The Expendables. Not too bad for an old guy, but we're going to keep Dan on. We're going to find out what his take is on this whole greatest thing. Was Ronnie Coleman the greatest or not? Dan has a very interesting view on that right after this final commercial break here at MD Radio.
Hey, this is Seth Ferosi, IFBB Pro, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
If you're looking for the no bull supplements, Zero Limits is the brand for you. Zero Limits products represent the hierarchy of bodybuilding supplements. Zero Limits is for those who dare to force their bodies through the torturous acts of physical challenge and display a whatever it takes to win attitude. Zero Limits goes beyond the mundane pack of Me Too products with the development of a real breakthrough and innovation to take muscle building further than it has ever gone before. Zero Limits has revolutionized testosterone enhancements with no Test. Experience unprecedented 10,000% increases in testosterone and watch your strength and muscle gains go through the roof. NovaTest is in a class of its own for a select group of athletes who live by the Zero Limits philosophy of never setting limits on themselves. NovaTest, fast, powerful, potent elevations in testosterone. NovaTest from Zero Limits. Order NovaTest at www.getxl.com because large isn't big enough.
From the creators of Bullnox, the first testosterone-infused pre-workout nitric oxide, Betancourt Nutrition presents new Fosflex Creatine, the only creatine, insulin, and complete joint support formula on the planet. Check out Betancourt Nutrition on Facebook, Twitter, and BetancourtNutrition.com.
Leveroni Formula, giving fitness products a good name.
Business as usual, man! Let's go again! Run! Yeah!
For the best workout of your life, use Nox Pump, the strongest pre-workout powder in bodybuilding. Get Nox Pump at health food stores everywhere.
This is Jay Cutler, and you listen to Team MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you've ever tried. Because only Test Charge has taxidrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world, and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like some banned substances. But rest assured, there's nothing illegal in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB living legend Flex Wheeler. And now you too can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Leveroni Formula, Extreme Nitric Pump Blend. The cleanest and most powerful pre-workout mix available today. Order it now at LeveroniFormula.com.
Over the years, iForce Nutrition has brought you some of the most powerful muscle-building products ever seen in the bodybuilding world. Now, after years of research and development, we are proud to introduce our first launch into the world of thermogenic fat loss with Adipoxil. Adipoxil isn't your run-of-the-mill fat burner. Adipoxil is new and rewriting the definition of fat loss. Adipoxil's competition strength formula is so powerful, in one cycle, you can go from soft to shredded. When being lean isn't enough, get shredded with Adipoxil. For more information, visit iForceNutrition.com.
Did you know your protein has an anabolic to catabolic ratio? Until now, all the proteins on the shelf were way more catabolic than anabolic. So guess what? You're not growing.
Oh.
Nice to know all that money you're spending is going to the toilet rather than muscle, huh? Marketing doesn't build muscle, but a protein built for humans does. 99% anabolic, so you grow and grow and grow. See why at humapro.com and give the bathroom a break.
Yeah.
This is IFBB Pro, Jason Ho. You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
All right, if you were listening earlier, I've been doing nothing but hyping up the November issue of Muscular Development Magazine. It's one of the better in-depth magazines. We also have a day in the life of Evan Sinopani. The guy's going to be making his Olympia debut. He's kind of slow out of the box, came out a national champion, went on to win the New York Pro title, and then won the Flex Pro, and ultimately wound up in the Arnold. And finally, you know, he got married, had a kid, and he's ready to hit the big stage this weekend. And no one better to talk about this weekend than the voice of Pro Bodybuilding from Pro Bodybuilding Worldwide Radio. Coming up right after this show, Dan Solomon's on right now. We were just talking about his column in Muscular Development Magazine where he talks about, is Ronnie Coleman the greatest bodybuilder? Which begs the question, is there a question about him being the greatest? He's got 8 Mr. Olympia Sandow trophies. Is there anything else he needs, Dan? What's your take on that?
Yeah, it's funny because I always try to write these columns to kind of get people thinking and create a different perspective. And we did a program a few weeks back, a month or two back, in which we focused on that very topic. Who is the greatest bodybuilder of all time? And, of course, you have the Arnold camp, and you have the Lee Haney camp, and the Ronnie camp. And you can make really good, insightful, informed arguments for all of those guys for very different reasons. And a lot of people will jump right to Ronnie and say, he's got the 8 Sandow trophies. On his best night, certainly he would have beaten everybody, including Lee Haney, on his best night. But then I kind of took it one step deeper and I said, is it that simple? Is it as simple as saying Ronnie Coleman, by virtue of the fact that he could have beaten, you know, say Lee Haney on his best night, does that make Ronnie the best? And perhaps it does. Some people might feel that way. But there's one small point that I think has kind of gotten lost over the course of the years, and that is this. If you guys remember when Ronnie Coleman was dominating and when he was winning all of those titles year in and year out, when he was winning those titles from 98 to 2005, as great as he was, there was a fairly large contingency of bodybuilding fans that took exception to his proportions, took exception to the occasional distension on the midsection, had things to say negatively about the way his physique flowed. I remember, and I mentioned it in the article, the night that Ronnie Coleman appeared on the Jay Leno show, and I was in my living room, and I was with a few friends, and I pointed very, you know, enthusiastically at the television. I told everybody in the room, that guy on the TV is the greatest bodybuilder in the world. That's Ronnie Coleman. That's our sports Mr. Olympia. And they all looked at me like I had 2 heads, like I was crazy, as if to say, you mean to tell me that is the representation of the very best in the world of bodybuilding? And it was kind of a strange moment because it made me realize something that I had heard many, many times, that the physique, as great as Ronnie was, as dominant as he was, his physique and what it represented rubbed some people the wrong way. And I don't think that can get lost when you're starting to make the determination of who's the greatest. Now, if you swing over to Lee Haney, Sean, Lee Haney, of course, won the same number of Sandows as Ronnie did. They both won 8. Lee Haney was very, very dominant in his era, as you well know. We don't have the benefit of a lot of those digital photos and social media and internet and all those other things that we have today. So today's fans are going to have a better, you know, recollection of Ronnie Coleman than they will Lee Haney. But make no mistake about it, Lee Haney was off the charts dominant when he was competing, and he also competed against some great, great bodybuilders. So I guess, you know, not to ramble, but when you really break it down, I think you can make a great case that with Lee Haney's greatness, you never heard anyone complain or criticize his flow, his physique, his proportions, his aesthetic appeal. It was always celebrated. It was celebrated in a way that Ronnie Coleman's wasn't. It was the reason they gave Lee Haney his own TV shows. It was the reason Lee Haney was sort of embraced by the masses in a way that Ronnie Coleman wasn't. So I'm not sitting here telling you that one guy is better than the next. They're both extraordinary. But I think that one slice of the argument in terms of how Ronnie Coleman was perceived, in some cases not overly positively in terms of what his physique represented. You know, you remember when he would turn to the side and sometimes the heavy breathing and the distension of the midsection. Sometimes you have to consider that when you're going to go ahead and put that label on somebody and call him the greatest of all time.
Well, with that, we have come to a close. We're going to see both of those gentlemen at the 48th Annual Mr. Olympia Championship Weekend this Friday and Saturday at the Orleans Arena. Don't forget, we do have a press conference taking place on Thursday at the Orleans Arena. And again, meet the Olympians Thursday night. So go to www.MrOlympia.com for all those details. Stay tuned. We've got Pro Bodybuilding Worldwide Radio coming up with Dan Solomon and his guests, continuing on with the 48th Annual Olympia coverage. And make sure you tune in to MuscularDevelopment.com and follow us along on the forums. We're going to have play-by-play and interviews, and we're going to have a very exclusive preview with Dan Solomon and Peter McGough coming by way of the Luxor Hotel and Casino on Wednesday night. So stay up late and check that out. For Dan Solomon and Kevin Livroni, this is Sean Ray. We'll be back with Olympia results 1 week from today. Enjoy the football game. Peace, and I'm out.
You've been listening to MD Radio, a look at the world of bodybuilding and health and fitness. Join Sean Ray again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.